And to begin our study, boy, that does make a difference, doesn't it? So let's start all over. Not really. So Psalm 119, I would like, I'm asking, please, the men alone, if you will with me, read through these verses. Let's read them out loud, okay? And let's get these indelibly imprinted on the page of our mind by such a reading, hopefully. Faith comes by hearing, so does reading. And so Psalm 119, verse 9, and I'll say the verse number so we can stay together as best as possible. Verse 9, men all together. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Verse 10. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Verse 13. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Verse 16, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. And so within these eight verses, there are eight truths that help us understand from God's word how to keep our way pure. So let's study two of them this morning. The first two, which I believe are the most important of all. And so first and foremost, how to keep our way pure, there in verse 9, by keeping it according to your word. The way to keep my way pure is to let my paths be in harmony with the Word of God. Many people want to make wise decisions in this life, but unfortunately, they look in all the wrong places for guidance. They look to themselves. They look to other human beings. They look to human philosophy. All the wrong places. And so they end up walking all of these paths of vanity. They lead them to the wrong destination. The prophet Jeremiah addresses this problem in his own day. Jeremiah 10, he said, the leaders of Israel have not sought the Lord. And these are his words, have become stupid. They haven't sought the Lord, and so their way is foolishness. And then he went on to say, I know, O Lord, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. A man's way is not in himself. Man is simply not capable of spiritually directing his own life. And anytime he tries, that is apart from God's word, it always, without exception, ends up a monstrous, recycled exercise in vanity. It has been tried countless times in every generation before us, and it always ends up a monstrous exercise in vanity. Jeremiah, earlier in that book, chapter 2, verse 5, said of Israel, they have pursued emptiness, and it stands to reason, they have become empty. If we pursue a philosophy of emptiness and vanity, then we will become empty. If we suppress the truth of God's word and sedate ourselves and our conscience with vain and foolish philosophies of men, then we will live our lives in vain. Now, on the other hand, the psalmist reveals a number of countless blessings, advantages, benefits, favors that come from following the word of God. Let's read just a few of them now. Psalm 119. Let's start at verse 24 now. The psalmist says, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. And so human counselors, and you'll meet a lot of counselors in school, but they will sometimes fail you. Human counselors sometimes fail us. But the Bible is like a wise mentor that will never fail you. And it's always at your disposal. The Bible is the best counselor and mentor you will ever have in your life. Look at verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Wonderful things await you. Give yourself an opportunity to know and to learn this book of life. Verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. God's word will revive you, will lift you up, resuscitate you. And any time you grow weary, it will wake you up. And we all need that from time to time, don't we? Spiritually speaking, waking up. Because we can just go to sleep on the Lord if we're not careful. In verse 28, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Many things in this life bring us grief, but God's word brings constant joy, constant comfort. In verse 38, he says, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. God's word should cause our love and reverence for God to only grow, as it should grow with time. In verse 49 now, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. God's word provides hope because God cannot lie. God's word gives us hope. Verse 54. Look at this. He says, your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Life's varied experiences provide the themes for most of our songs, don't they? But what does the psalmist say was the source of his songs? The word of God. Your statutes are my songs. Your commandments are my hymns. That's how much he loved the word of God. Many, many blessings given in verse 97 and following. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Look at this, verse 98. Your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. In verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You'll have many, many teachers in life. This is the teacher you want right here. Here's where true wisdom comes from. And if you know the Word of God, if you understand God's Word, you will be wiser than any teacher who does not know the Word of God. Your Word makes me wiser, he says, than my teachers. Learn the Word of God. Grow in the Word of God. In verse 100, I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. In verse 104, from your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And so, you know, as we go through life, we've learned it at work, at school, the predominant philosophy right now is situation ethics. It's especially taken root beginning in the 60s, and now it has grown. It's become the predominant philosophy. A philosophy of everything being relative, no absolutes, which is a contradictory statement, we understand. But truth, right or wrong, according to the philosophy of our culture and age, is determined by the person, the circumstance, and the situation. Everything's relative. And so under some circumstances, some situations, lying could be acceptable, cheating, stealing, immorality, maybe even murder. Situation ethics. That's where we are in our society right now. What does the Word of God say about ethics? What does the Word of God say about right and wrong? God's Word, as its author, is absolute. Absolute truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Sanctify them in truth. It is always right to do what God's word says is right. And it's always wrong to do what God's Word says is wrong. God's Word is absolute truth. It is not relative to any person, any time, any situation. Anything contrary to the Word of God is a lie. Paul once said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Romans 3, verse 4. How can a young man keep his way pure? Only by keeping it according to God's Word. That's our only moral compass. Secondly, how can a young man keep his way pure? By seeking God with a whole heart. Go back to Psalm 119, verse 10 now. Psalm 119, verse 10, please. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. I'm convinced one of the greatest dangers facing the Christian today, listen to me, is that of an overcrowded lifestyle. We are overcommitted, brother and sister. And the irony is that much of this overcommitment is self-imposed. We have willingly committed ourselves and our children to so many activities, which in turn creates so many needless concerns and eats up so much of our time and attention that we have very little time left for spiritual growth and development, for ourselves, for our family, and needless to say, evangelism is virtually non-existent. Saving of the lost. It is truly one of the ways Satan is hurting us the most. These are things that aren't wrong of themselves, but we just want to do them all. And we think we can do all these things and our priorities not suffer. It's not possible. We just think it's a rescheduling issue. Well, just put it, fit it in here. And it's just temporary. As someone well said, nothing more permanent than a temporary situation. You know, my, how the time flies. And pretty soon you got one unbroken chain of temporary situations, you see. And in fact, you've just added more to it as time goes on. Priorities. It's one of the greatest needs of the Christian today is setting the right priorities. Being committed to the Lord with all of our heart. And sticking to it. Look at the resolute attitude of the psalmist. I mean, he is totally all in for the Lord. Look at verse 34, Psalm 119, verse 34. He says, "Give me understanding that I may observe thy law and keep it with all my heart." And that kind of attitude is expressed throughout this psalm. Verse 40, Behold, I long for thy precepts. Revive me according to your righteousness. Verse 57, look at this statement. The Lord is my portion. That's my food. That's my possessions. That's my everything. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your word, and therein lies the key. Make your commitment and keep it. I entreated, verse 58. I entreated thy favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. Verse 59, I considered my ways. I turned my feet to thy testimonies. I hastened. I didn't delay to keep your commandments. The point is, anytime he so loves the word of God, anytime he looks into the mirror of God's word and he sees the need to make a change, you know what he does? He changes. Because he knows the word of God is right. Just like that mirror on the wall, this mirror doesn't lie. I hasten to do what your word teaches because I know it's right. That is your best mentor. That is your counselor, the word of God. In verse 69, the arrogant have forged a lie against me. Now the psalmist is in the midst of many persecutions. There are a lot of trials going on in his life, the one who wrote this psalm. But in spite of that, look at his response. Verse 69, with all my heart I observe thy precepts, in spite of the way people are treating me. Verse 71, he goes on, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your ways. And so his commitment to God was such that, you know what? I see this affliction as a favor, as a blessing, because it's drawn me closer to God. Imagine that. Some of the best lessons in life, brethren, are not learned on the mountaintops. They're learned down in the valleys when we're flat on our back, forced to look up. It is good for me, he says, that these things have happened, that I might learn thy ways. In verse 139, Psalm 119, 139, he says, zeal has consumed me. Jesus said that, didn't he? Because my adversaries have forgotten thy word. There's a godly jealousy. A jealous for God because of the wicked. Verse 140, thy word is pure, therefore thy servant loves it. Verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. I know you love me. Get that? Men consider me small. They despise me, but I know you love me. In 143, trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Did you know that those who study their Bibles every day, who pray to God throughout the day, who fellowship with Christians at every opportunity, who confess their faith in Jesus at every opportunity, and who show mercy, who do good and show mercy consistently. Did you know they have just as many work obligations as you do? They have just as many family responsibilities, just as many daily trials, unforeseen hardships, their share of sicknesses and sometimes diseases, and they have just as many demands on their time and attention as you do. You're not unique in this regard. Trials are the common lot of all people. So how are these people able to keep their spiritual priorities even in the midst of life's many demands and trials? And the answer, according to the psalmist, is, the Lord is my portion. This is verse 57. I have promised to keep thy words. He made a commitment to the Lord and he meant it. In response to God's gracious favor, he gave his whole heart to the Lord. He made that commitment and he made it one time. He didn't make the commitment once in a while. That's our problem. Well, let's see, do I want to assemble this week or not? Don't want to study my Bible today or not? Don't want to pray today or not? Are you in for the Lord or not? Have you made that commitment or not? It's not a once in a while commitment. It's a commitment to God for all time. And one important area of our commitment to God is our fellowship with other Christians. We're extremely happy that you're here. And I use that word hesitantly, but we mean that. We're extremely happy that you're present with us. Will you be with us next week? And the next week. Can we count on you to be with God's people each Lord's Day? You know, regarding this particular area, there's a brother by the name of Gus Nichols, and he said this many years ago, and this is quoting him. He says, I resolved and purposed in my heart one time that I would assemble with God's people each Lord's Day as long as I lived and as long as it was possible. He said, in 50 years, I have assembled and served with God's people every Lord's Day with the exception of 4 Sundays, then only due to illness. Once I made the decision, the question of whether or not to assemble with saints hasn't come up again. I made that decision 50 years ago. One time. Not weekly. That same kind of resolve and commitment should characterize every aspect of the Christian's life. As the psalmist says, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. Daily Bible study, daily prayer, acts of mercy and kindness. Those things glorify God and they're good for us. God knows what's best for us, and these are what He teaches us to do, among other things. And don't forget who we are, brethren. Who you are and whose you are. Right? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Apostle Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, new things have come. So this inness, we're in Christ. And that inness affects everything we say and do. Some things have to be out because of our inness with Jesus Christ. I heard a man one time say, you know, so-and-so, just be baptized. Just get yourself baptized. You won't have to change anything. Wrong. When you're in Jesus Christ, everything changes. We don't come to the cross of Jesus Christ to make a few improvements. We come to the cross of Jesus Christ to die. To die to sin, to die to the person we once were, and to live for Jesus in everything. What did Paul say? No longer I who live. Christ liveth in me. If we're in Jesus Christ, we're a new creature. Old things have passed away. You may be a student, you may be an electrician, you may be a nurse, a teacher, a plumber, a carpenter, engineer, investor, a doctor, so on and so forth. But if you're a Christian, that's who you are first. You're a Christian who is a student, a Christian who is an electrician, a Christian who is an engineer, a doctor, a mother, a father. You're first of all a disciple of Jesus Christ. Christ is our life. In Psalm 119, the psalmist says, 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. We need to schedule definite times to be with the Lord, to talk with the Lord. Privately in prayer and arrow prayers during the day. Definite times and stick to it. 7 times a day, he said, I praise you, O Lord. Make your appointments with God and stick to it, just like you would a doctor or a dentist. Set definite times to let God speak to you through His Word. And then definite times to pray to God in the morning or evening, whatever suits your schedule. And stick to it. Set aside an evening each week to visit and encourage other people. And stick to it. Join the fellowship and the work of local saints here. Be a part of it. Work with us. And stick to it. We need to grasp well the concept, redeem the time, for the days are evil. That is still true. It takes time to be holy. And God intended for us to spend a considerable amount of time learning how to be holy. Let's learn to give secular activities the leftovers and not the Lord. God deserves and God expects the very best we can offer Him. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to God's word and by being wholly committed to the Lord throughout his life, making that decision one time. It's for our good. It's to God's glory and it's for our good. It may be, and I've been there at points in my life, I can readily admit to you, it may be that you've not been studying God's Word as you need to. God has not been talking to you through His Word, and we're not talking to Him in prayer as we need to. And when I haven't done that in the past, You know what happens to me spiritually speaking? I'm running on empty. Oh, I'm alive and I'm going along doing this and that, but I'm running on empty, spiritually speaking. And what that means is I'm not ready for the trial when it comes, and it's going to come. I'm going to be tempted to do this or to say that, and I'm not ready because I have nothing invested. I have nothing to withdraw from. The bank account's empty. I've not been studying God's Word. He's not been talking to me. I've not been praying to God. I've not been fellowshipping with iron characters like you are. And so I have put myself at great risk. I'm very vulnerable to the devil at times like that. God says this is to my glory and it's for your good that we fellowship. That's God's plan. We study His Word regularly and pray and do good, acts of mercy, when the opportunity arises. Are you running on empty? Then it's time to maybe make that resolve and make it once and for all. Not once in a while, once and for all. Make that resolve to give your heart and your life to the Lord. And when you do that, hopefully, when that kind of resolve is seen, and it will be evident, your kids, your grandkids, your fellow man, your fellow workers, they're going to see that. They're going to see Christ in you, and they're going to say, whatever that guy's got, that's what I want. But it begins with you, God working through you. And how about this morning? The Lord is calling through His Word. He's always calling 24/7 for you to come to Him. And in an assembly like this, there's certainly an opportunity. But understand, it's all the time that His invitation is there. He loves you. Do you love the Lord? Now's the time to show that. Our brother has chosen a song. He's going to lead us in the words of this song to